Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Leah.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. Today we are in Valdosta, Georgia with Lady Faustina Andrews, and we're going to be cooperatively doing the show today together. What about the children? I'm so excited to be here and so excited to talk about this topic because it seems like today our children are just running helter-skelter, making adult decisions without guidance, without leadership. And we want to address that issue, bring it to light. So this is the topic we're going to be talking about. Our signature scripture is Proverbs 22:6, lead up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But the question is, are we leading them in the right way? And as always, we start off with praise and worship. So we got a couple of songs for you. Byron Cage, A Shield for Me, and Casting Crowns, If We Are the Body. Please enjoy this music. Remember that I do not own any of the copyrights to this music. It is just for your listening pleasure. Right back after the break.
Comes a time in every believer's life. Trials are going to come, but God said, I will not leave you comfortless. So be encouraged. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? They that rise up against me, many there be which say of my soul.
My glory, the lifter up for my head.
Thank you for this. Thank you for this. When I didn't understand, the enemy sought to take me out. Thank you for this. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. He sees your tears. He knows it. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting.
Home.
That was Casting Crowns with If We Are the Body. Before that was Byron Cage, Thou Art a Shield for Me. Again, I am your host, Blog Talk Radio, If My People, Pastor Leona Ross. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Today's topic is What About the Children? A foundational scripture is Proverbs 22:6 that says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Today, I am so happy to welcome my childhood friend and sister in Christ, Lady Faustina Andrews. Please say hello to the people.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, woman of God. What a privilege and an honor. In your presence, let alone to have this opportunity to share in the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Yes, 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 yes. It is always an honor and a privilege to tell people about Christ. But before we get started, as always, we're going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll go right into our topic, What About the Children? Father God, in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I ask that you bless this broadcast, Lord God. We ask that your Holy Spirit emanate out, touch every heart, mind, and soul, Lord God, that their takeaway from this, Lord God, may be edifying to their souls, Lord God. We plead the very blood of Jesus over each and every person, Lord God. We thank you for our spiritual leaders, Apostle James Lorenzo Rutledge, Pastor Vicki Rutledge, Sister Faustina's leader, Gerald Williams. Lord God, we ask that you cover, shield, and protect them and bless them, Lord God, as only you know how. And we thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to look at our signature scripture, Proverbs 22:6, the way it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. What does that mean, that when he's old, he will not depart from it? Well, we know that train up means to, what are you teaching them? What are you instilling them? What values are you instilling in that child? And not only by your words that come out of your mouth, but what example are you showing? What behaviors are you exhibiting in the presence of your children that is not conducive to that which the Lord Jesus Christ says? What the Holy Word says. Because we know we can say one thing and we can be doing another, and children are so open and so private, they will correct you. Why, Mama, that's not what you said. I remember back in the day, you know, our parents used to tell us, well, you know, if somebody came to the door and they didn't want to see that person, tell them we not home. And we'll go to the door and we say, my mama said she not home. How many of you have been there? How many of you as a child have done that? See, they're little imitators of you. What you do, they're going to do. So, number one, if you're going to train up a child in the way that they should go, you need to look in the mirror first. You need to see the behavior that you're exhibiting before them, in front of them, on a daily basis, not just at your place of worship, not just when you are around your family and friends, but at all times, not just when you go out to the school. And the teacher want to know where, and you sitting there, the teacher wants to know where, I don't understand why little Johnny is doing this or doing that. And before you join in with that teacher talking about, I don't know either, look the mirror. What are you setting before them? What are you doing in front of them that is okay at the house but not in public? See, you being a hypocrite. You are being very hypocritical because you're telling your little Johnny or whoever, little Susie, not to do this, but you are doing that very same negative behavior in front of them. Now, if you don't want your child to exhibit certain behaviors or has think a certain way, then don't expose them to it. Simple as that. Sister Faustina, what you got to say about that?
Praise God. You know, as you were saying, don't expose them to it. It took me back to my own childhood. We lived a very, very sheltered childhood. We weren't able to get out much and mingle much. I never had a sleepover, never been to a friend's house to spend the night, and, you know, or any of those things, because my father and my mom understood that although they might be living a life in front of us, but to allow us to go to other households, that they couldn't control what was going on in there.
Exactly.
You know, they were like, oh, no, we know what we're doing over here. Mm-hmm. That would be what they were saying. We know what's going on over here. So it's not only, you know, your behaviors, but like you said, what is it that we are allowing our children to be around that exhibits behavior that we know that is unpleasing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we'll say, oh, we feel like we've been a little tight on them, so we'll let them go to such and such house where we know they're a little bit more liberal, so that we can, you know, say, well, over here, you know, I do it this way, but they didn't do it in my house, knowing full well what's going on over to Miss Kathy's house, that type of thing. So we have the responsibility, I believe, to not only guard what we are doing, but to also parent, which is something that we've kind of got away from, is parenting.
Yes.
Remember when my youngest was coming along, she was like, nobody else's parents, they can go and they can do. I said, sweetie, what I'm doing is called parenting.
Mm-hmm.
It is my job, mm-hmm. you know, to make sure not only things are wholesome and whole here, but to make sure wherever you're going, things are going to be wholesome and of a good report there. So and we can't hold on to that that banner that parents like to wear and say, well,
uh-huh.
I'm grown, I'm this, but if you don't want them to curse, don't curse.
Exactly.
If you don't want them shaking their little ribs, don't shake
your little ribs. Oh,
you
know, my goodness.
So it just goes on. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And certainly we understand that, you know, certain things are appropriate with certain ages, but that's what we're talking about, the foundational thing.
Yes.
And so if we don't set up that proper foundation, then we run into trouble anyway because we haven't given them anything to build on.
Build on,
you know?
Exactly.
So those are the thoughts that are just coming to mind right now.
You know, yeah, and that is true. And when we're talking about foundation, we're not just talking about the Word of God. We're
mm-hmm.
talking about the things that you allow and that you don't allow. If you allow your children to dress provocatively as a child, as a little girl, because that's the way that you dress, if you allow that 2 or 3 year old to be getting her nails done, yeah, she's got to wear weave, guess what? You're not going to be able to tell her she can't do that as a teenager. Mm-hmm. See? So it starts at a very young age. See, that is not beauty. Beauty is not wrapped in cosmetics. I'm sorry. I don't care who don't like it. But the truth of the matter is the Bible says that we are beautifully and wonderfully made in the image of Christ. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say we got to have weave in our hair, nails on our fingertips, and all of this stuff. No. He says we are beautifully and wonderfully made in His image. In other words, you're good enough. See, that's the message that we need to be giving to our children from a young age, regardless of what anybody else say. And let's just be honest. Children are cruel when they go to school. See, children are cruel. If we don't build up their self-esteem from day one, and I'm talking about to the cradle, to the grave, see, you've got to let that child know that whatever anybody says, male or female, boy or girl, see, that whatever they said, you good in yourself. Build up their self-confidence, see, because then they're not going to be so easily succumb to the peer pressures, you know? Oh, that ain't what my mama said. My mama said, I'm beautiful. My mom, and the more you instill that, the more you build up their confidence so that no matter what everybody else says, if somebody says contrary to that, guess what? That child is going to come back and they're going to tell you such and such said this. That child should not have to fight their own battles. As you said, parenting. See, that's a big part of it. Parenting. You deal with those issues. I don't care what position they may hold in the earth, in this world, teacher, whoever. No adult, no person has any right whatsoever to degrade your child. Mm-hmm. And you have to be the kind of parent that that child knows that come what may, you got their back. Right or wrong, you got their back. Now, we might correct it at the house when we get there because you know you don't act like that. You know I didn't raise you like that. See, but if that adult person is wrong, treating your child in a way that, you know, is not conducive to the way that you are raising them, you better let them know. No, you ain't talking to my child. Who the world do you think you're talking to? Now, you might talk to somebody else's child like that. You might do this to somebody else's child. But this one right here, this one belongs to me. And they're going to do what I tell them to do. See? So don't be trying to teach them contrary. And we have so much false doctrine in the educational system right now. I mean, it is just so crazy how they want to teach everything but the truth. They want to take our children all the way over to the left in some make-believe area, imaginary, like the Bible says in Corinthians, I think it is, you know, the imagination, taking those thoughts into captivity. Every imagination and every thought, every high thought that exalts itself over the will of God, taking that stuff into captivity. You know, not allowing it to take root in your children's lives. See, because what they say is okay out there in the world, okay, that's okay for you, but in my house.
And you know, it's the one of the pressures that, and I think the difficulties we run into even in parenting is that once they leave that house and go to the schoolhouse,
mm-hmm.
by week two, that child is coming home saying, Mrs. Brown said, I'm supposed to do it this way.
Exactly.
You know, and so like you're saying, from the cradle, instilling these things to the point to where they're even at that age, they're not wavering.
Exactly.
They're not wavering. They know how to reverence authority, but they also know how to stand and say, you know, when we went to school in my household, we didn't celebrate Halloween.
Exactly.
And my dad didn't care what they did
at the school.
Don't mm-hmm. bring him no jack-o'-lanterns in his house. Don't bring no bats, none of that, because
exactly.
we don't do that. We don't
exactly.
trick-or-treat. That's not what we do. Although when we went to this public school system, we were
exposed
to it. I mean, what, all through elementary school, you were exposed to that, the parties and the this and the that. And here, you know, kids come to school with all this candy and, you know,
yeah.
the whole the thing of it. But we knew, you know, we were able to say, we knew wasn't nothing wrong with us. We were just different. No, we don't celebrate Halloween. What you mean? All it is, you go get candy. My daddy said, if we want candy, he'll buy
some
candy. You know?
Exactly.
So, but we were able to stand. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an ethic that was set up in our house, like you said, from the cradle. And it was unwavering.
Exactly.
And that's what I think that we run into today, is that the parents begin to feel the pressures of society and they start to waver in things that they know are sound.
Sounds, yes.
Even born-again practicing believers, you know, yeah, you got to have a tough skin these days
yes.
to hold on to the reins of holiness if you have children coming and going and that world trying to infiltrate your home.
Exactly.
You know? And,
exactly.
And it was always, when I'm an adult and a grandmother now, I find it interesting how our parents, even in setting these things in place, these perimeters, they always allowed us to maintain our childhood
mm-hmm.
because that's what you will hear a lot of us say. They're just children. We don't want to take away their childhood. Well, I'm not going to serve you up something dead so you can be a child.
Exactly.
And the word, you know, the Bible tells me, the word tells me that's what's out there. It's death. Anything outside of Christ, it leads to death. It leads
mm-hmm.
to destruction.
That's exactly
so you can keep your childhood. I'm going to serve you up a bunch of death and a bunch of destruction?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, no, because according to the scripture that we are going through today, when it says, and teach them the way to go. You see what
yes.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that lets us know, just like in Jeremiah, you know, I know a thought, I got a thought concerning you. It's a destination that we have to arrive at, that God has already set us up for. And so what are we doing? We are grooming them. We are cultivating the word of God within their little soul so that they can go, they can move. Not moving things of this world, but to be able to navigate this world, not become a part of it,
exactly.
but be in it, be successful in doing what it is God brought their little souls here to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
And it's funny you bring up Halloween, because my granddaughter on the way up here, she was telling me about Halloween and different things that they was doing. And I asked her a question. I said, Kenani, I said, do you know why they celebrate Halloween? And she said, no, to get candy. I was like, no, ma'am. I was like, no, it's not to get candy. The origination of Halloween is a pagan holiday. It's a day of the dead, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Church began to call it, you know, All Saints Day. See, I said, but it's still a celebration of dead things, of dead people, see. So we're not supposed to be celebrating that. I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, is there anywhere in the Bible that it says that Christ celebrated Halloween? She was like, no. I said, exactly. And if he didn't do it, then why should you do it? Don't you have candy and sweets? And anytime we go to the store, you get what you ask me for. We have the money. Guess what? You get it, right? Right. So then why should you go begging from house to house for candy? You don't have to. The Bible says he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And that's what I think is missing in the church. Like you said, these pagan holidays have infiltrated the body of Christ and the church of God, because now, like you said, we don't want our kids missing out on anything. What are they missing out on? They have candy all year. They have sweets all year. But what the church is doing now, and I see this a lot, and there's no one denomination, because it's across the board. They have what they say a trick or trunk, where they have a car sitting on the side of the road in front of the church, and they've got candy in for the kids to come and get, or they're calling it Hallelujah Night. Okay, what is the difference from All Hallows Eve, which was the original name of Halloween, to Trick or Trunk, to Hallelujah Night, to All Saints? You know, it's the same thing. You have to recognize it is the same logic, the same principle. And what you're doing is you're putting a new label on it, but it's the same practice. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Let's stop trying to, as you said earlier, dress up sin and call it a new name. No, it's still sin. It's the same thing. You are still honoring the day of the dead. You are still honoring the thing that Satan himself has put and infiltrated the church, and you're saying that it's okay.
Yeah.
Our children are not missing out on anything. As I said, they have candy. They have sweets the whole year around. But you want to dress up in these little pagan images, these little scary images, and some people even sit, you know, in on Halloween night, tell scary stories, watch scary movies in celebration of. But what does that have to do with Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then your child wake up in the middle of the night having a nightmare. Well, what demonic spirit or what demonic force have you allowed into your home?
Right.
Because it is a spiritual thing. And we just can't say, oh, those things don't matter. Yes, they do.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's either a good spirit or a bad spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, and it goes all the way back, you know, if I may say, excuse me, to the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He said, did you eat from the tree of good and evil?
Mm-hmm.
See, now you have this knowledge. Now you know about good and you know about evil. And I never meant for you to know about that. See, because that's a side that now you make your own decision.
Right.
These are things that
had you obeyed me and not eaten from that tree, you would never have to deal with. But now, since this spirit, you've allowed this spirit to enter in, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You no longer just have my spirit, but you also have this evil spirit that is now influencing you to do wrong.
Right.
And that's what we do when we allow our children, see, and we teach them these behaviors and they watch our behaviors and we let them entertain all of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, oh, it's just a cartoon. See, it's okay. No, it's not okay. And then later on in life, and you see your children exhibiting behaviors that you know you ain't teach them, and you wonder why, but what was the foundation?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's just not okay.
It brings this question to my mind as you're talking. You know, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from them. What have we handed them?
Exactly.
What have we given them? When we, as we talk about all of these areas to where we are missing,
yes,
as parents, we're missing these little spots. But the Bible says it's the small spots that kill the
lion. Yes, yes.
So here,
yes.
All these little spots we're missing. So have we really, as we are training them, have we given them a full representation of this God that we say that we serve?
Exactly.
And when we are making these alliances to satisfy flesh, you know,
mm-hmm.
are we then saying that there's something insignificant? Is there something about our God that's not enough? If there's something about our God that gives void, you see the
mm-hmm,
message that we give?
Yes, yes.
We're telling them on one hand, this is the I am. You know, come on, walk with me in the Lord's way, you know, because here you will have life and you will have this life
more abundantly.
Abundantly.
Yes.
And then as we just talked about, we serve them up a whole bunch of death
mm-hmm.
and destruction
mm-hmm.
at the underneath the auspices and the name of childhood. And then so have we, as parents, as grandparents, have we handed to them a clear, definitive description of who it is that we truly serve?
Exactly.
And I would have to venture to say, no, we haven't.
No, we haven't, because there's a lot of compromise. There's a lot of compromise because, you know, little boo-boo crying because they can't go to the Halloween party, or little boo-boo crying because they can't go to the Christmas party, you know, and we're looking at them, well, it won't hurt for them to go this time. Oh, yes, it will. Because you have them living a lie. You know, you're introducing all of these pagan holidays. You're introducing all of these stuff that goes against the will of God. And you saying that it's okay for now, just this one time. Well, how many know that one rotten apple can spoil the whole bunch? It can spoil the whole bushel if you just leave it in there just this one time. See? Now, are we making apple juice or are we making apple cider? Come
I like
on
that.
Now.
That might freak right now. Praise his name. You know, I was thinking, too, you know, as you were talking, how if we're weakening the message.
Exactly.
And they're going on about their way with this weakened
Christian sense. Message.
Yeah,
yeah,
message,
word of God.
This very weak message that we are handing off to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, how would they then build?
Exactly.
Understand
how would they build?
Because I think, honestly, and I don't want to speak for all Christian denominations or sects or whatever may be, but I would say too many of us are not clear.
Right, exactly.
On what it looks like to serve him. How are we able to experience the abundant life? How are we able to maintain our childhood and still serve this God? And I believe that I came up loving the Lord at a very young age.
Amen.
I just loved him. How I fell off my rocker, you know, that's a whole nother show within itself. We'll have to come back and the Lord.
The road to salvation.
Yes. Truly. You know, to talk about
yes.
that one. But one thing that I can always say, and I talk to my siblings about this a lot, is that I knew how to get back because of what I had
been
handed.
Taught. Yes.
You know
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
I knew how to find my way back to the Lord and what it meant to be holy, what it meant to be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this, Pastor Ross, I think if someone would have said it to me this way and I hadn't got this in my spirit so many years ago, that those 66 books are not written to just take me and put me in a cage. That's not
exactly.
why they were written.
No.
They were written to protect me.
Yes.
To show me what real love was. Mm. To show me real relationship. That
yes.
was the purpose
yes.
of it.
Yes.
But, you know, but it's presented sometimes when we present it in the way
as
we
a weapon.
It. Yes.
As a weapon.
As a weapon.
Yes.
Oftentimes it's
a
weapon.
Mm.
Oftentimes it's used to just keep you surprised.
Yes.
You know, and all of these
yes.
things. But had it been presented to me, here's your life more abundant, baby. If you follow this, you
yes.
won't have to worry about
right.
having them big old holes in your heart.
Yes.
If you follow this, baby, you won't have to worry about alcoholism and drug addiction. You won't have to worry about a lot of these things. You understand? But
exactly.
because of the way that it was packaged to me along the way as I got older and I'm trying to find my way and just peel through and filter through all of these
things.
I was like, oh my goodness. You know, I was like, oh, I'm never going to measure up. I'm never going to measure up. Never knowing that.
You are never supposed to be perfect.
I was just supposed to yield.
And
I was just supposed
it.
To obey.
Yes.
And in the course of doing that, and reaching into God and searching for God in way of doing that, then his grace would have been
sufficient.
And he would have made up the difference. But it
wasn't
packaged like that.
It wasn't packaged like that.
We went to, and middle school kids would be sitting around and they'd be telling jokes. We probably 7th or 8th grade. They telling jokes and stuff like that. And I'm really afraid to laugh at the jokes. I want to tell jokes. But I'm afraid to tell a joke because if I tell a joke, I got to go back to church Sunday and get saved all
over again.
Because I done lied.
And that's what they
said.
That's what they said. Nobody told us that once we receive Christ, that's it. You still saved, but it's a process of coming into a relationship. And I say all the time, you know what? When you met your spouse, when you met, you know, your husband or wife or whatever, you didn't know them. Y'all had to, first you were introduced. Salvation introduces us to Christ. After that, that's why they call it a walk. It's a walk in Christ. It don't mean you got to be perfect. Because what does it say? No man is perfect. That's exactly what it says. Nobody is perfect. So it's all right, baby. Go on, don't laugh at the joke. But back then in them days, you couldn't watch TV. You couldn't play music. You could not do anything that you have seen and go back and be what they call the morning bitch. That makes no sense. And nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever bring shame to anybody who was a sinner. He never brought shame to those people. He showed them, like you said, the love and kindness, the unconditional love of the Father, that in spite of what you caught up in, baby, in spite of whatever sin that you have, I love you. I am the one, as we said on the show last week, I am the one that's going to come in and renovate your household and begin the cleansing process. Salvation is only in me. Deliverance is only in me. It is not found in man. Let them people talk. But I'm the one that's working down on the inside because I'm the only one that can really see the very intent of your heart. See? And that brings up, you know, this next scripture here, where it says Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of God.
Mm-hmm.
Let them learn reverence for God by what? That unyielding love, that unconditional love. That's what it means to nurture. See, you're not always fussing at them, you know, as we say, oh, you're going to get a whooping because you laughed at that joke. Oh, you know, always bringing a recompense, you know, for something that they did. When Christ is the final recompensation of sin, you know, Apostle Rutledge has this scripture. He tells us all the time, and he actually lives it, which is the first place that I've ever seen it, you know, where he said, love hides a multitude of sin. See, that's that overwhelming, that unconditional love that if you mess up, there is nothing. You know, like it says, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And people forget that when they take this word, when they take this Bible and make you use it as a weapon and make you feel so bad and make you feel less than. And this is why our children don't want Christ. See, when you're talking about being put in a cage and being put in bondage, but yet the word of God says being in Christ, he who serves Christ, what, is free indeed. So how are you free indeed if we're taking the same word and binding them up and making them feel less than? How are we different from the world? See, how are we different from the world? We know different. So guess what? They're not finna give up all the fun stuff if they already feel depressed and oppressed. You know?
And another thing, too, is making room for them to serve.
Exactly.
You know, running, I've seen that, you know, throughout the years. When you do find that you have a young child or a young adult.
Yes.
Or youth who love the Lord.
Yes.
They're ready to serve the Lord. They may not understand it all, but they want to be in there.
They want
to get their hands dirty, you know, and just pushing them to the side. And then here it is, Satan, you know, they ain't hollering out of the diaper yet, and he's using them for his business.
Exactly.
Got them selling dope.
Got
them taking dope. You know, all these things, mm-hmm. you know. But just finding and giving them and allowing them to know. He said, suffer the little children
to come unto me.
For such is
the kingdom of God.
Right. You see what I'm saying? So he's telling us, while they're young, let them come.
Let them come.
You know,
let them work.
You despise them. You don't get to push them away and say, not yet, not yet. Now, we know that there's a waiting. He who has ministry, let him wait on ministry. He who has teaching, let him stay on teaching. That's not what this particular thing
is talking about
right now. Is that we let them come in and we train
them.
You know, we had opportunities to serve back in the day. You know, they would set aside that time for us, and they would put somebody a little bit older than you, and you walk with them, you know, through devotional service. And you know, when I got older, you know, I could run a whole service, you know.
Exactly.
And it's not because somebody set me down in the classroom, but it was because we were allowed
to participate.
Because he's their God, too.
Exactly.
And I think we forget that he's their God, too. And so we have to train them how to reach their God, you know, through their prayer.
Yes.
You know, train them through their servitude.
Yes.
You know, and not just in the house of God, but also in the community. I know you take your grandchildren out when you're out feeding.
Yes.
And that type of thing. You know, just allowing them that opportunity. You know,
yes, to serve
and to just know that they belong.
No. Yes.
They too belong.
Yes.
You know, and you don't have to wait till the third Sunday when it's you Sunday. He's always your God.
And you know what I'm saying? And that goes back to that training them up every day. What are you doing? What example are you showing them every single day?
Yeah.
You know, Apostle Rutledge, when we came into this ministry, you know, it was a young minister. I was probably one of the oldest people in the ministry, you know, but we were allowed to work. Whatever we wanted to do, and it's still the same to this day. My grandchildren, you know, whenever Pastor Tawanda is doing children's church, guess what? He want to be on children's church. You know, when they moved away and went to Minnesota, guess what? He wanted to be on children's church. She would have to call him on the phone so he could be in children's church. See, so what anointing or what is it consistently that she is doing, even though he don't move 6, 7, 8, 10 states away, that you better call me so I can be in children's church.
Right.
See, that's that seed that had been sown from a young child.
Mm-hmm.
See, that he remembers that I want to be there. I want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he reads the scripture. She has them saying the prayers. They come up with ideas, you know, to and different activities to do, you know. And that's what we need. We need that inclusiveness, as you say, for the children to
put their hands in and put their hands to work. See, and be that example that consistently, see, involves them. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't expect you to be perfect. We know you're going to get to a point mm-hmm. where you're going to make a mistake. But guess what? That mistake is not going to stop your relationship in Christ.
And your mistake doesn't have to become a lifestyle.
Like that. Exactly.
Because so many times when we mess up, especially when we're young loving the Lord, and you mess up, you just figure like, oh, just forget it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I said, you know, that word is opposed to, you know, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore
yes,
with love and kindness have I
drawn thee.
You know, instead of allowing that to be the experience, you know, rather still, you know, it's just so rigid and so, you know, so, I don't know what you would say, browbeating.
Yes.
You know, and that type of thing. So when they even feel like they get, because a lot of times before you mess up, you get a feeling that you might be getting ready to mess up. You gotta get a feeling like, man, I ain't gonna make it. I'm about to shipwreck. You know, but letting them have that confidence and knowing that they can come and say, look, you know,
I'm struggling with this.
This has my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I know because of what you taught me, this is against the word
of God.
I need help. They need to be able to
do that
and know that they're going to be
loved.
That.
Yes, not beat down. not sent to the morning
not
bench.
Scorned.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And all of these things. So that to me is a much part of training.
Yes, it
and
is, most definitely.
Them having that confidence. Okay, you ain't coming to me. Guess what? God see it anyway. Go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dress it up. Don't you pretty it up. You talk to God how it is. Just
mm-hmm.
how you feeling it.
Yes.
Just how you're envisioning it.
Yes.
Just how, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when we teach, I believe, them to understand that, yes, He is God the Father, but He's also Father God.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
He's God the Father, but He's also
Father
God.
Yes.
You know, my father was my father was very stern. My mother was a little bit more lenient, but she didn't play either, you know. But my father, when he would have his little family meetings, he would always say, don't ever be afraid to tell me nothing. He said, because you'll go out here and you'll tell somebody else. He said, but when you get in trouble, you got to still come to me and your mama.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so you might as well start with us first. You see?
Exactly.
The only thing anybody else going to be able to do is turn into a bigger mess,
mm-hmm.
talk about you, or
yeah.
whatever. But when the rubber meets the road, you got to come right back to me and your mama. So you might as well start here
yeah.
first. But giving them that confidence, baby. Mama's not perfect. I didn't get here being perfect. You
exactly.
know, I made mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, do you
Telling
know why I can
truth.
Have these conversations with you? It's because I've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my children, just getting them to understand. It's like, oh, I never know, Mama, you went through all of that. Yes, baby, that's why I'm able to say the things that I'm
saying. Exactly.
That's why I know the emotions that you go through when you're there, because I, too, have been there. You know, and allow me and my wisdom to help you
navigate it mm-hmm.
to where God is calling you to.
Yes, and on that point, even in these times, you know, with this whole gender neutrality
mm-hmm.
and all of this stuff going on, even though, because, you know, we didn't have to deal with that stuff, because for the most part, when
clear.
We was growing up, it was clear, if you born a man, you're going to be a man. You born
mm-hmm.
a man, you're going to be a man. But now, this day, you know, with this gender biasness,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're telling young children, you can be whatever you want to be. You can feel that devil is a liar. That's not what the word says, and I don't care who don't like it. I will never agree with that.
But see, that's a message. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And see, that's the thing. Once you're very clear on that, they understand. But at the same time, see, I was never caught up in that. So I can't identify with that. And I can't say I understand how you feel. But what I will let you know is that even though that's how you feel now, I'm going to pray that spirit lives off of you. And while you go through that, I'm going to love you in spite of. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to throw you away. You still my child. I don't care what you're struggling with. But where I see you is where God has placed you. So I see this as temporary, because
mm-hmm.
I know for myself. Nobody can tell me I might not have that same struggle. But the struggles that I did have in my life, you know, that kept me in bondage, it's the same exact feeling. See, I understand that. Now, just because I was attracted to men, you see what I'm saying? And you may be a girl attracted to women or a male attracted, you know, to men, attracted to a man. I can take those same feelings where, oh, I just got to be with a man. You know, you might have that same feeling. Oh, I just got to be with a woman. I can identify with that. It ain't the exact same thing, but I know that God is a deliverer. And he can remove those feelings from you because it's all within the flesh anyway. Whether it's a spirit of fornication, a spirit of homosexuality, a spirit of lesbianism, it's the same root. And my job is, as they say, if anybody be sick, bring them to the elders, and they will pray a prayer of healing. Sometimes things ain't for us to talk about. Right. We spend too much time trying to degrade our children instead of just listening to him, listening to them, and allowing God to move in their lives. Mm-hmm. See? And just like we was talking about earlier with the lady and the woman at the well, you know? She said, he said, listen, I know the one you have now is not even your husband. You have had five husbands. He didn't say, oh, you an adulteress. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell her that. She ran back and evangelized the whole doggone city saying, I met a man who told me everything, everything about me, you know, that I ever knew. He told me everything. Mm-hmm. Not once does it say, and I don't see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever condemned any sinner. Now, he condemned the scribes and Pharisees because he told them, listen, this is what you're doing. You requiring of the people what you don't do yourselves. That's what he told them. See, you telling the people they got to obey the law, but what are you doing? Are you going to, again, train up a child in the way that you're the one in authority. So what are you showing? What behavior are you exhibiting before the people? So how you going to tell the people to obey the law? And you're not even obeying the law. No. So he didn't condemn the sinners who didn't know any better. Right. Because there was no holy example. There was no example of righteousness before them until Jesus came. There was no way out. There was no way for them to be delivered. Or because, like you said, they were held to this rigid law that they thought that they just had to be perfect. And Christ said, no, even the lady and the woman, the lady who was caught, as they say, in the midst of adultery. You know, he said, woman, where are your accusers? And he said, neither do I accuse you. See, even Zacchaeus, he said, you know, he said, Zacchaeus, come down from there because I must eat at your house today. Now, he was a sinful man. But when he got to the table with Christ, he told Christ, he said, everything that I've done wrong, I'm going to restore it. See, once you come into that relationship with Christ, once you introduce your children to who Christ really is, that he is a loving, a kind, forgiving God. See, not this thing that says, oh, you in trouble, you're going to hell. See, because we was told that so much that everything we did, we just thought we was just going to go to hell. Everything we did, we just automatically thought, well, we just got to give up. Ain't no hope for us. Like you said, we just going to hell. I done messed up for the last time. I'm going to hell. But that's all we heard. Everything we did. We watch a movie, you're going to hell. You talk to your friends on the phone, you're going to hell. You go, you're a girl, you go outside and play, because I was a tomboy growing up. So I go outside and play ball with the boys. I'm going to hell.
But you know, the interesting thing about that is so funny because although it was a hard place for us, we still tried to measure up.
We did.
And that's the thing. I think the difference is they set the bar high.
Yes.
A bar that was unreachable.
Unreachable.
But it was high nonetheless. And because it was high, we kept trying to reach up.
Mm-hmm.
We kept trying to get higher. Here I find in this particular day and time, it seems that we're not setting the bar high. We're saying, oh, you're gonna fail at this anyway, so we just gonna move the ball way down here. But the word is still saying the same. God is still requiring holiness.
Yes.
Sanctification is still very much real.
Yes, it is.
You know, the word has not changed.
It
has been steadfast. It has been
unmovable.
And so we have to maintain that holy is holy. We got to set this bar up for holy. You know, and say, by the grace of God, we're going to
get there. Exactly.
We're
going
to continue to mature in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
the Bible
says,
mark
him.
A perfect man.
Yes.
Mark a man who has heard the word of God, who is doing all within his power to walk in that he has heard of the word of God. And every time he might stomp his toe, God is there with his grace. Why? Because he's striving to perfection.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
He
realizes that God has a standard.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as you were saying, being you know, saying with the children now who are confused, you know, with their sexuality and this type of thing, and saying you could be whoever you want to be. But, you know, that spirit came in long time ago. Because, you know, we have done our children, I feel, a disservice in telling them.
Very much so.
Oh, you can be whatever you want. You can go every, make these grades, you do this. You rub elbows with this one. You hang. You can go anywhere you want. No, baby. I had to go back and retract that. You can be whatever God allows you to be, but you need to be trying to be what he
said you
were
going to be.
That's the problem. And so what happens, and it, like I say, it has bleeded over into sexuality. We've given this message, though, about be whatever, do whatever, do what make you feel happy. You know, if it make you feel good, then it's good for you. All this old foolishness we have given. Let me tell you something. This flesh gonna hurt.
I'm telling you.
I don't care if it's a spirit of gluttony. You hear me? This flesh is, if you gonna walk this walk, your flesh gonna hurt.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If you're going to walk this walk, eventually you might have that spirit of gluttony, but as you reach in and you continue to seek him and you get closer to him and that spirit begin to fall off. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
you don't even
God.
Realize when that spirit wins.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm
it.
Telling you, this flesh is going to hurt.
Because mm-hmm. it want what it wants.
Yeah, you can't please this. There's no good thing in it. The word say there's no good thing in this. It's merely a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
For the saints of God, this is merely a vehicle.
That's
to
it.
To take us to do the things that he has sent us here to do.
Amen. That's right.
For his glory.
That's right. For his glory.
And the edification of
his body. That's right.
And so we have to, I tell my daughter, we talk about it all the time, of just undoing some tapes. There's some tapes that we have from long ago that we have to undo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling my grandchildren, you can be anything you want to be, baby. No, baby, we need to be trying to find your purpose.
Exactly.
Why did God bring you here? So I can cultivate that. So I can nurture it. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that
yes.
I know what to feed you spiritually, because this is where God has called you
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
So now I know I need to give you this. It's just like a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
Bodybuilder need a certain diet. Someone who runs track needs a certain diet.
Exactly.
So if God called you to be a missionary, it's a certain way I need to feed you.
Exactly.
You see?
Amen.
So glory to God. That's some things that hit
mm-hmm.
my heart.
And you are exactly right. And going back to the school thing, I remember, you know, back in the day, and I guess it's still in existence, Bishop Kenny High School, you know, even though it was a Catholic school, they had a certain thing that they taught those children. See, and they didn't go outside of that. The church today, we have to get back to educating our children so they can truly be trained up in the way that they, then we ain't got to worry about them going to school, getting all this false doctrine, because there's no avenue. See, for it to be introduced to them. See, because now we got a school, and it's a truly, not just a so-called Christian school, but they're being taught in holiness and righteousness. So they got it when they go home, and they got it when they're getting it when they go to school. So they're surrounded by it. See, so there's no differentiation between the two. See, that foundation is being reinforced. See, and that's what we, it's a must have. See, because everybody can negate the purpose of people of color and the contributions that they have made to this country, and they can call it whatever they want to call it. You know, talking about they're teaching division and all of this stuff, and you know they talk about the 1865 you know project and all of this stuff. The slavery, basically slavery. That what they're trying to say, slavery never happened. But that is a vital part of who we are, see, in this country, you know, as black people, African-American people, Negro, whatever you want to say. They done changed it so many doggone times, but God calls you his people. Yeah. At the end of the day, he don't see no color, see, but why can't we get back to that, see, because society has a way of negating your past, see, and when they do that, what they're actually trying to do is devalue your very existence, your very identity. See, so we have to get back to a place where we have our own schools, we're educating our children so that they know that they are not only valuable in the earth, but first and foremost, they're valuable to God himself. That, as you said, he sent them here for a purpose. And this is the message that we need to be instilling into our children so that they have that confidence, as I said. See, and they know who they are. They can stand up and say, well, I know who I am. You ain't finna speak that mess to me. I don't know who you think you're talking to, but you definitely not talking to me. See, because I am wonderfully and I'm beautifully made, you know, in the power and presence of God. So you just ain't gonna say no anything to me. And it's nothing wrong. They're not, you know, being disrespectful. They just know who they are and have the boldness, see, and the authority in Christ Jesus to speak that. They don't have a problem with the Jews going back over their history. The European history, you know, they act like that is the only history that exists here. No, no. That don't make, just because, as we used to say back in the day, just because you white don't make you black. No, and I don't care who don't like it. Because our people, our ancestors, people of color, African-American, black people, Negro people, have invested blood, sweat, and tears, literally. See? Not to even mention the Hispanic people. See? That died, and other immigrants who came over here, you know, that literally died building this country into what it is today. Okay, Pastor Ross, you done went all over to the left talking about that. Well, you know, what that has to do with Proverbs 20, it says train up a child. You have that whole history, see? And you need to let them know what their past was like, that people sacrificed themselves in order for them to have the freedom and the liberties that they have now. That is subtly and sometimes blatantly being taken away. Mm-hmm. See? But if you never teach them what to fight for, how will they know? Mm-hmm. See? And that's the thing. When we look at the Bible, when we look at Joshua, and many say this is the Joshua generation, he told Joshua, he said, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid of their faces. See, when he had to go out and fight the Ammonites, because what? They were coming against the word of God that had been instilled in Joshua. See, they was coming against his what? His purpose. See, so when we have these systematic entities that are coming against the purpose that God has placed our children here in the earth realm for, we have to teach them to fight. They don't have no problem teaching their children.
But I think, too, that when we read the word of God, sometimes we just read it.
Exactly.
Without maybe getting, sometimes when you read the word of God, you have to get almost like a visual.
Yeah, you have to get the full understanding.
Of what, like you're saying, it's so many wars
mm-hmm.
you know, in the Word of God. And we know that our weapon is not carnal, but they're mighty.
Mm-hmm. Pulling down
the stronghold. They are mighty, and they be pulled down. And like you said, walking in that, teaching them to walk in the authority of God
mm-hmm.
and the power of God.
Exactly.
And knowing, you know, and teaching them, too, the weaponry that we have, the weapons of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, you brought mention about the ancestors and blood, sweat, and tears, you know, fighting through prayer.
Yes.
You know, okay, you are out on the front line, but somebody's back praying, you know, fasting,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Psalms.
They didn't even understand what those songs meant. They just thought they were all spirituals. But God was hearing the very intent of their heart.
And all of those are weapons that we have to teach them to master.
Yes.
They have to learn to master this. And then, you know, as you were talking also about, you know, being Christian and needing to have more schools so that our children are going to born again practicing believers, and we know that they're living something because they're right in our communities. We go to church with them,
mm-hmm.
or they're within our organizations, whatever the case is, versus going over here, and it might be a Satanist who's teaching them. Somebody who's an atheist. You know, they're easing in all of these different
belief
systems, and evolutions, and all of these things, you know, and all of that stuff. It's hard once that seed is planted, because oftentimes you don't know a seed has been planted,
until it manifests itself.
Exactly. And sometimes that's not, people say, oh, they went away to college and they just flipped. Sometimes those seeds were planted way long ago.
Before college,
you know, and it just, like you said, they just didn't manifest themselves. But I feel it is crucial, you know, that we educate our own. And coming together, like you mm-hmm. said, in the Word, God doesn't necessarily talk about color every now and then. He might mention the Ethiopian or this, that,
mm-hmm.
or different things of that sort. But he never makes that his sole message. And I believe he doesn't, because once we all connect to the body of Christ.
Exactly.
You know, it falls away. You know what I'm saying? It falls away. Because in the instance
mm-hmm.
of in the body,
mm-hmm.
we are one.
Exactly.
But because we are in a world.
In this world.
Not
exactly.
of it, but we're in it. And so it's very prevalent. And those things do have to be addressed because they're very real. You know. But as we are addressing, we always apply in that word.
Yes, we do.
And everything we need, every antidote we need, every answer, it's in the
Word of God. Definitely.
He'll tell us when it's time to fight. He'll tell us when it's time to retreat. He'll send them in the battle and say, take everything they got. Then he send them in the battle and say, don't you touch
nothing.
You know what I'm saying? But it is him that we are yielded to and we are looking to for those instructions.
Yes, yes.
You know, as to how we ought to navigate this land that we are farming in.
Exactly.
And that's another message, I think. You know, if we have time, we have to address, you know, the fact of teaching our children that, baby, we are foreigners here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you can't get along with nobody in your class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you were never Yes, you were never called to fit in. You are set apart.
Yeah.
And the word says, come from the midst of them. He always, and even in Deuteronomy, from the beginning, he says you are above. See, and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. And it's not them that has to acknowledge that about you. God has already acknowledged it. God has already spoken this. See, and this is what Paul was telling to Timothy. You know, this is who you are. Now, Timothy, I need you to go forth and teach the very thing that I have taught you. See? Teach it to those people. Yeah. Don't let nobody despise your youth. Just because you're young don't mean you don't know nothing.
That's true.
See, and many times, you know, people say to our children, especially older adults, stay in a child's place. Mm-hmm. No, they must be respectful, But if they know the word of God, God has given them the authority and the freedom to speak that word. When they see something that is not conducive to their spirit, that is not what they have been taught, that is not conducive to the word of God, as I said, they have the power and authority to call that thing into subjection to the word of the living God. And just because you out of order, don't get mad at that baby. Don't get mad at that baby, because that baby told you the truth, and you mad. That little spirit in you that want to be rebellious and disobedient, now you're mad. No, call your little self into subjection, because at the end of the day, this is still what thus saith the Lord, regardless of who brings it to you. See, God has no respect to person. There's no age or gender in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, and sometimes God will let your baby send you a warning. You know, as I say, a warning comes before destruction. Mm-hmm. You better heed that warning. Yes, see, you better heed that warning. Mm-hmm. See, but you know, we just can't get so grown that we think we know everything. Right. We just gonna outrule, to overrule the word of God. Yeah. That doesn't happen. See, and I think that's another thing, you know, that we need to pay attention to. And a lot of times that as adults, but not only as Christian adults, but as adults, period, mm-hmm. you know, we don't recognize the purpose and the anointing on our children, see, because we're not in tune with the spirit of the living God when God is revealing that thing to us. That's why we have to pray, you know, not only about what our purpose is, but God, because the Bible clearly says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Yes, see, yes. And I say this all the time. We don't know who his anointed is. God sent that baby in this earth for a purpose and a reason. Mm-hmm. See, so you just can't be helter-skelter thinking you can do whatever you want to do and handle them any kind of way. Oh, no, ma'am, no, sir. See, because God, he says, what you have done to my least ones, so have you done unto me. So at the end of the day, you know, and you standing there before God and he said, remember when you said this to your daughter? Or remember when you did this to your son? And I'm holding you accountable for that. Yeah. You see, you never sought forgiveness. You never repented. Mm-hmm. See, and that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing that a lot of us miss out because, oh, that's my child. I can do. No, no, it's God's child first. That child belongs to the Father. Yes.
You're just a steward.
Yes, it.
And you're a steward over souls. And I think, too, we have to stop seeing them in their flesh.
Exactly.
And see that they are a soul.
Yes.
And a soul, you're going to have to give an account
for.
Count
it for. Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that, to me, puts you at a whole nother different level of
exactly.
thought in dealing with children.
Yes.
When you really recognize and know that that's a soul and a soul that God has entrusted
you with
to be steward over and you are going to have to give an account, it changes the game.
It changes the whole concept and really it should change your outlook.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because if we as pastors and we as clergy can look at the congregation and say, oh, God, these are the souls that you have entrusted me with, but yet we go home to our children and grandchildren or what have you, you know, or even children that we have in our neighborhood, you know, and not see those children as souls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that little bad behind child, da 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 da. No. If their parents don't know Christ, guess what? You see that child, why don't you invite them in for Bible study when you're teaching your grandchildren?
Mm-hmm.
See?
That's right.
Why don't you invite them in, introduce them to Christ? That's what we are supposed to be for, to introduce them to Christ. God will open a door for a daily encounter with somebody who does not know him.
Yes.
And we are to be mindful and to take advantage of those times. I'm not saying go in and have a all-out Bible study one day, you know, and constantly beat them over the head with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But they will see your character.
Yeah.
See, they will see how you live and how you learn. Mm-hmm. See, what you are doing. See, You know, I have people who come in, my neighbor and other people who I just invite to my radio show just to listen in here.
Mm-hmm.
See? It says hearing comes by what? The word of God. I ain't got to advertise that I'm a pastor. How am I living outside the church? How am I living, you know, on my job? How do people who I know, who I see every day that I might communicate with me, am I the same Pastor Ross inside the church building as I am anywhere else, in Walmart, in the grocery store? You know, am I that same Pastor Ross?
Mm-hmm.
See, I ain't saying I'm perfect, and I don't endeavor to be perfect. I just endeavor to be the best that God has called me to be. That's all I can do. Live to please God and not man. Because man is always going to be disheartened, displeased, or don't like something you do. See? They want to talk about how you dress, how you look. You know? And God is not looking at any of that. God is, he said in 1 Samuel, he said, I don't look at the statue of a man. I look at the very intent of your heart. What's your heart condition? What are you saying?
I like that.
See? Mm-hmm. See? What is your relationship to Christ in your heart? Not on the outward appearance, because I could wear all the white that I want to. Sit on the front row of the church and act all saintly and ain't nothing but hell under all that white.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because you hold the bitterness and hatred in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that your children don't see that when you're not at the church? Do you think that they don't see how you gossip and talk about the other members who are supposed to be family,
mm-hmm.
who are supposed to be the body of Christ, your sisters and brothers? Do you think that they don't see how you badmouth them when you get to the house?
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Do you think they not listening to your conversations on the telephone?
Right.
You know? See? So it's in all areas of your life. See, of our lives, that we are demonstrating who we are to these children.
Yeah.
And if it's not love and kindness, if it's not the image of Christ, then how can we expect them? See? To display what we're not showing them, what we are not being the example of, but we want to spank them. We want to punish them. Oh, no, you get in the mirror and spank your own behind, as that little boy said in that YouTube video. He said, Mommy, you need to whoop your own behind. See? Because where did they get it from? See? You know, and it's just thoughts like that. You know, we have to learn to be the example. We have to become more conscientious of how we live it, how we talking, before we try to correct our children in things that we need to correct in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take a deep self-evaluation
mm-hmm.
of how we're living before our children.
That's right.
See, when I say, what about the children? It needs to be, what about the parents first?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said at the beginning of the broadcast, you know, what about how are we parenting?
Mm-hmm.
Or even, are we parenting?
Right.
Are we just, you know, just letting them, leaving them in front of the TV, in front of the, you know, game box or whatever? Yeah, they raising themselves. And all we doing is providing food, shelter, and clothing. And sending them on, and we don't pay any attention to them when they get to the house, you know, oh, go watch TV, get out my face.
Mm-hmm.
See, what are we literally sitting down and teaching them? Are we having those conversations? Do our children, as we said earlier, feel free enough to come to us to talk about any and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have that freedom?
And they need it, because you don't want the world giving them
that. Exactly.
You want to be able to have that opportunity to take them to the Word.
Yes.
You know, so that they can see the delivering grace of God.
Exactly.
You know, and that God always, he said, when offense comes, he said, I'll make a way for the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
exactly.
And just giving them that opportunity without fear.
Exactly.
That they're going to have to pay some penalty for
coming to
you,
you
in honesty.
In honesty.
Yeah.
and honesty, and a lot of and the one thing, and in my upcoming book, I address that issue and never keeping secrets.
Mm-hmm.
A child has to be free to come to you and tell you anything, and not only that, you've got to believe them. It may not be a topic that you want to hear about, but if it's happening to that child, you know, validate their feelings.
And be honest enough
be
to
honest
say you don't know how to handle it. Give mama time. We're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let mama get to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Or let daddy spend some time in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for trusting me with this.
Exactly.
And I really don't know what to do with what you've given me, but mm-hmm. I know who does.
Exactly.
And we're going to take this thing
exactly
to God. You know?
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of times that's parents become paralyzed.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, they hear things that they weren't ready for. They never
exactly
thought they would hear.
Yeah. Coming from their own
child.
Yeah.
When
it's somebody else's child.
But when
it's
in your house.
When it's in your house.
You
yes,
know,
Lord.
It's hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the things you thought that you would say to another parent, all of a sudden now they
you
seem
ain't got
inadequate.
No words. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they seem inadequate, not enough, or not fitting. Because why? Because this is the one you birthed. You know?
Yes, yeah. Lord. Yes,
yeah.
Lord. It's
the one you birthed, so
mm-hmm.
you know, God be the glory.
Yeah, but you know, that's what it's not my child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just some things, you know, we don't know how to deal with in the mm-hmm. moment. We're going to go through one or two emotions. We're going to be upset and sad, or we're going to go to the next level where we're fully enraged and I'm going to do something to you.
Mm-hmm.
You hurt my child. I'm about to go do something
mm-hmm.
to this person.
Or be so hurt yourself until you kill the messenger.
Yeah, exactly.
And when I say that, their spirit.
Yes.
I've learned, you know, I ask the Lord even now, you know, Lord, help me to guard my eyes.
Mm.
So when I'm not pleased, that what's coming from my eyes, it's not that a disdain,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
but maybe disappointment.
Right.
Or that I'm saddened, but I don't want it to be that they could ever look in my eyes
mm-hmm.
and see me and it be piercing their little
hearts. Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because it's not always what we say out of our mouth.
It's sometimes
it's
how we look. It's that body language. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've had that even as adults. Somebody could look at you a certain way and it make it do something to you.
Yes, it does.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Does. Yes, it does.
So it's just watching that and just being mindful, Lord, please remind me, you know, how. You know, even because some people think, I'm not of that persuasion, but some people seem to think once the children are legal age, they no longer are parents anymore.
No,
I'm
you're
not
still
from
parents.
That, I'm not
no,
from that
no.
school.
You parents from day one
until
you
die.
Leave here. Exactly.
Die.
Until
you
leave
and
here.
So that's just how I am. I had to learn how to parent, you know, my adult children.
Exactly.
You know, because it is a different space that you step into.
Exactly.
And I lost my mom and I was just, I think I was probably 18
mm-hmm.
when my mother passed away. So I had no idea. And then I left home. I think I might've been 19 years old when I left home, never lived in my father's house a day after. I think
mm-hmm.
I might've spent as an adult, maybe 2-3 nights in my father's house, my
mm-hmm.
whole adult life.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get parented as an adult.
No. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Because I was out of state. You know, and by the time whatever went on, it was overdone with, and I had either turned the mess into a bigger mess. Or, you know, but I had to ask the Lord, and even now, you know, how my oldest daughter is in her late 30s, you know, it's like, okay, God, but she still wants her mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
My son still wants his mother. He's on the road traveling all over this country, but he still wants his mother. My youngest daughter, she still wants her mother. You know, in all of these different stages of life with all of these personalities, all of these different responsibilities that they have. But, you know, I haven't had neither one of them walk up to me yet. Say, okay, I don't want you to have on a mama head. Just be my friend right now. No, they want their mama.
Yeah, they don't want no friends. And that's another disturbing trend, too. People want to be their children's friend. No, you ain't got a friend. You got a parent. See, because at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you what's right or wrong. Your friend's going to tell you what you want to hear. See, or they're going to tell you what they want you to know so you can always go along with them. No, you need somebody that's going to sit down and tell you the God's honest truth regardless of how it makes you feel. At the end of the day, it's the truth anyhow. Mm-hmm. See, your friends ain't going to always do that. See, and that's not necessarily the responsibility, you know, to the, you know, to the utmost of a friend anyway, because they want to be your friend. But as a parent, that is our ultimate responsibility, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth and let you know, no, this ain't right. No, you're not doing that. No, 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 mm-hmm. you know, or yeah, that's okay. You can, you know, I agree with that or whatever, but tell you the truth at the end of the day. You know, and tell you the truth, as I say, in love and kindness. Mm-hmm. Not doing anything to berate your children, because as we said, they're not going to come back to you. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They're not going to come back to you. They're not going to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that with most of my children, you know, the five that's still living, you know, they can come to me with anything. Mm-hmm. My son Frank calls me, you know, and I'll be like, okay, what it is. You know, and he's going to tell me. My daughter is always going to tell me what's going on with her. She might not tell me right then when she's right in the midst of it, but you better believe I'm going to hear about it. I still hear about things from my children that they did that I didn't know about when they were children. I was like, oh, Lord, don't tell me no more. Oh, Lord, don't tell me no more. Exactly. You know, but I am. I'm elated, you know, that we have that kind of a relationship, mm-hmm. where they can come to me and they can still talk to me. You know, even all these years later, the knocking on the door, as we said earlier, of 60, you know, and they feel comfortable enough calling me, you know, and telling me, even my grandchildren, Pastor Ross, guess what? And that's how they start out. Pastor Ross, guess what? And it might be a long, drawn-out story, but we're going to sit there, yeah, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. See? And I'm going to tell you the truth about it, because I don't ever want you to feel inhibited about anything. That you can trust me to come and tell me anything that you want to talk about. You know, and I'm not going to make you feel bad because you brought up that such.
Right.
You know, again, this is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People on Blog Talk Radio with Lady Faustina Andrews. We praise God for her. We do hope that this word has been a blessing to your body, soul, mind, and spirit, and that you can take something away from it and become the parents, not what your children need you to be, not what you think you ought to be, but the parent that God needs you to be in raising up this generation. Because remember, at the end of the day, it's about purpose. It's all about purpose. That which God has purposed for each and every one of our lives. Please join us again next week, 12 noon on Blog Talk Radio. Love each and every one of you. Be blessed. We're going to take you out of here, as always, with Jerron Nurse. Remember, tell somebody about Jesus. Until next week, blessings on you.
All around the world, I want to touch somebody. Somebody knows.
Come on, 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 come on